And now reading from Matthew 6, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have given our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mo, for reading our scripture this morning. One of the persons to whom I look up in our conference as a church is Reverend Dr. Clarence Brown. He's one of my favorite preachers. He's been an encourager to me throughout my time in ministry. He's been doing this a lot longer than I have. And I am grateful for his voice and support in my life. And so months ago, I asked him if he would come and preach for us one Sunday this summer. And he chose today. And we didn't know at the time that this would also happen to be a vacation Bible school Sunday, and that we would be having the kids doing a service today. And so I'm grateful that Clarence was still willing to come and still preaching for us in our 8:45 and 8:15 and 9:45 services this morning. So he told me many years ago that what we need to focus on as pastors is to love people and preach the word, and also give people a vision beyond themselves, that we get to be active out in the community together. So I'm grateful for his wisdom in that. He'll come up in just a moment. And he's retired, actually, and doing this just because he's so nice, right? Yeah, he's retired. He's also our district director of Connectional Ministry, and so we're thankful that he is connected to our church in that way as well. We are in the middle of a sermon series, and he is continuing that with us. We are studying the Lord's Prayer. Our series is called Teach Us to Pray, and so we are inviting you to memorize the Lord's Prayer through this series if you haven't already. And we're also inviting members of the congregation to share this prayer in another language that they may speak. Last week, someone shared this prayer in Vietnamese. Today, Dan will share this prayer for us in Mandarin. And if that is a language that you speak, we hope it's especially meaningful for you to hear it today. If it's not a language that you speak, we hope that it will remind you that this prayer unites us across languages, across geography, across our differences, across any divisions that we might have. This prayer unites us because Christ unites us and brings us together as one, not only in prayer, but in shared mission together. And so we invite Dan Zhang to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
我们在天上的父，愿人都尊你的名为圣，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上， 如同行在天上，我们日用的饮食今日赐给我们，免我们的债，如同我们免了别人的债，不叫我们遇见试探，救我们脱离凶了，因为国度、权柄、荣耀全都是你的，直到永远。阿门。And
the people of God all said, Amen. Good morning. That was almost okay. Y'all been awake at least an hour. Good morning. How are the people of God this morning? Are you well? Is it a good morning? Of course it is. And you know why it's a good morning? It's because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about y'all, but I get happy with each one the Lord give me. Anybody happy? Hallelujah. Well, it is a joy and a pleasure to be here with each of you and all of you. I thank my friend, my colleague, who is the absolute best, Reverend Pastor Amley, for inviting me to be with you. I must apologize, though. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? This is where you say yes. Yes. I'm sorry that The 14 of the preachers they invited could not come. But so you are kind of stuck with me. But I feel good. Anybody feel good? I feel like the 95-year-old man who robbed a bank. You online, stay with us here. This is 95-year-old man, right? And so he robbed a bank. But because he was 95, he was not too fleet of foot. And so he was apprehended immediately. He was whisked off to the jail. He was taken before the judge. The judge adjudicated, banged the gavel, and sentenced him to 150 years. He looked up at the judge. He said, Your Honor, I'm 95 years old. I don't think I'm going to make 150 years. Judge thought about it for a minute, looked down, smiled benignly, and said, Well, do the best you can. I don't think I'm going to do well today, but I'm going to do the best I can. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Almighty God, we are so thankful for these moments when we're able to put the world aside, come together as a community of faith, be touched by you, to hear your word and to respond to your word. I thank you for each of these, my friends and your servants, and pray the Holy Spirit just endow them, enflesh them, surround them, indwell them, such that they leave this place on fire for Jesus and share the good news of Jesus with everyone they meet. But for right now, we ask that you speak in, speak through, but more importantly, speak despite me, that the people might hear from heaven. We ask this humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the people of God all said, Amen. Before I really jump into this thing, let me say that you all are fortunate. Why is that? Glad you asked me. It is because usually I walk the aisles and threaten people. And they said, you can't go any further than this stage. So I'm going to be like a lion in a cage today. I'm going to be walking back and forth and get back. No, but actually, as I begin this time, I want to begin it with a word of congratulations. Congratulations. You all are a phenomenal people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm phenomenal. Look at your other neighbor and say, me too. You're phenomenal. Why are you phenomenal? I'm glad you asked me. You are phenomenal because in this preaching series, you are combining prayer and scripture and worship all together. And as you know, because all of you are good Wesleyan Methodist Christians, all of these are part and parcel of our spiritual growth and spiritual disciplines. You know that we as Methodists are devoted to celebrate and are energized by grace. Anybody love grace? Let me try that again because they didn't hear me back there. Anybody here like grace? Yeah. Hallelujah. We believe in prevenient grace, right? The grace that God gives us before we even know we need God. How many of you are glad about that one? We believe in justifying grace. That space of grace and place that where repentance and confession and forgiveness and assurance and new life bounce out by grace. And we believe in sanctifying grace. That's the grace where we grow more and more each and every day into the image of Jesus. I call it grow up grace. Anybody here need to grow up? Sanctify grace. We believe that our response to the grace of God is twofold. It's the public and private worship of God, and it is attendance upon the means of grace, of which prayer and worship and scripture are central. So you have said, Pastor, and I said, yes. You said, check, 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 check. Bah! You're phenomenal. Somebody pat yourself on the back right now and say, I'm phenomenal. But I must once again engage in confession. And that is, as I engage the spiritual disciplines, as I pursue my own spiritual growth, as I attempt to engage God at a higher level, sometimes I get stuck. Anybody ever get stuck? I get to this place I call Twixt and Tween. Anybody ever been Twixt and Tween? Between up and down, between north and south, between east and west, between here and there, between a rock and a hard place. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, yeah. In some cultures, when they think about this thing, Twixt and Tweenness, they call it crossroads. Anybody ever seen crossroads where you stand in one place and you don't know which way am I going to go? They're stuck in that Twixt and Tweenness. And as I was preparing for this morning, as I was reading scriptures, I was thinking, reflecting, this scripture walked me right smack dab into my Twixt and Tween space. How so? Well, I'm glad you asked me. This scripture for today is exceedingly familiar, is it not? I can wait. I mean, I don't have a lunch date. You know, it's familiar, right? It's the Lord's Prayer, for God's sake. You know, everybody, people who don't even know Jesus know the Lord's Prayer. It's part of every service of worship we got. It's part of the communion service. It's part of the baptismal service. It's part of death and resurrection services. It's part of every worship service. We say, now let us pray the prayer that Jesus gave to everybody. Saying together, our Father. But you know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, right? Or sometimes praying these things become ritualistic. And you know, rituals are good as long as they are imbued with substance and meaning. But sometimes when you just rote repetition it, you know, you got one leg behind you and one hand. I see the same thing like the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. But this leads me to a Twixt and a Tween place. How so? Well, you know that this scripture, I like that, don't just scripture, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And you know that that Matthew wrote this gospel to a predominantly Jewish Christian community, sometime after 70 AD, sometime after the Roman Jewish War, sometime after the temple had been burned and busted down. So he's writing to a community who is now Twixt and Tween. How's that? Because they were intent on claiming Jesus as the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, as the Messiah. Yes? And this immediately put them in conflict with their neighbors, with their friends, and sometimes even with their family. I sure am glad that don't happen no more. Can you see it? They go into the synagogue and say, Jesus is the Messiah. If you don't stop with that Jesus business, I bet you out. Can you see that? They were what? Twixt and Tween. And not only that, but forever, or it seemed like forever, they had been subjugated by Roman occupation. They had to pay taxes. I sure am glad that, well, and they had to revere the emperor, Caesar, as a lord. And when they didn't comply, they were subject to violence. Can somebody say crucifixion? Y'all with me here? And not only that, wait. New people were joining the church. Gentiles. And there were a whole snap of them. What's a good Jewish Christian to do? So Matthew, in our text, Jesus says, tell you what you do. pray. But when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which you have already reflected on, and you have noticed the relational aspect of the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus says what? Our, you with me here? Father. Not my Father. Because if this was my church, some of y'all couldn't come. And then it said, hallowed be thy name, which is to indicate the otherness of God, the holiness of God, the awesomeness of God. How many of you know God is awesome? So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then thy kingdom. Thy kingdom. And that's it. Okay. That's another place where I get stuck in twixtedness. Did I say that right? And tweenness. How so? Well, kingdom. If you do a word study on kingdom, basileia in the Greek, it attends not so much to geography, and it doesn't really resonate with what we think of with king, because when we see, hear the word kingdom, we think of castles, right? And little flags flying off the minarets and knights with little lances that run around and English accents. My liege, my lord. Yeah. But this has to do with the personhood of the king, his will, his rule, his dominion, the extent of his influence, but it's not so much about that, but it is about whether the people who are subject to that dominion are willing to affirm and respond to the will of the king. That puts us in a twixty-tweeny kind of place, right? Because all of a sudden, now I got to make up my mind, to whom will I give allegiance? Will it be to my own self, or will it be to the king? Anybody ever been there? Boy, it got kind of quiet, Pastor. I think they're cogitating. I can tell because I can see the smoke over there. Just, there's another twixtedness. For you see, when we pray and we petition, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there are a couple of implications. The first implication, as it is in heaven, means that God's will is worked out explicitly and perfectly in the heavenly realm. Do you think so? But conversely, it also means that God's will is not being worked out in flesh perfectly in the earthly realm. Would you say that's true? This is where you say yes. So I came by to tell you that God has already answered the prayer, because the kingdom has come. How do I know? Well, first of all, because I heard it from Jesus. Anybody ever read the Gospel of Mark? You read the first chapter? And in the first chapter, Jesus jumps right into everybody's Kool-Aid and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. All righty then. So what is that? The gospel is good news. What is good about the news? It's the life, it's the teaching, it's the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Somebody say that's good news. Hallelujah. It's here. But, always a but. The kingdom is here and it ain't. It is, it ain't. What do you mean, bro? Glad you asked me. You ask searching questions. Did you know that? To the extent that the will of God is lived out perfectly in my life, in your life, in your life, in your life, and especially hers. Yeah, her. Yeah, yeah. She, you talking about me? Yeah, you. You, yeah, yeah. The kingdom is here. And how many of you know we see the kingdom every day, do we not? And I see it in church folk. Because the church is the place that is supposed to be a community of faith that prefigures the kingdom of God. Am I right? I ain't always right, so. Well, yeah, yeah. But to the extent that the will of God is not lived out, worked out in our lives, the kingdom ain't. It's coming. How many of you know it's coming? It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. You can't stop it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And so, when we say, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have to say, well, how do we do that? And you know the good news? It ain't hard. Because somebody asked this fellow named Jesus once, what is the great commandment, sir? And Jesus said is to love your God, the Lord your God, right? With all your, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can do that. Yeah. And so I would also hasten to add that it ain't easy. Am I right? Because I've been doing this for 21 years. Thank you for that reference, by the way. That was a nice way. She's a nice way of saying he's old. Because of this free will thing we have. Yeah. Do we always choose what God would choose for us? Sometimes it's hard. But I want to let you know there's good news. What is that? That as Jesus left, he sent a helper, an advocate, a teacher, a comforter that resides within each of us and around all of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. Grandma called him the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because Holy Spirit is a little bit too sanitary. Got to be the Holy Ghost. And he's here. And he helps. Helps us when making choices is difficult. But I just came by to share with you that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.